from the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Heart is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Red 7.
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock.
That's what we call a sack lunch.
I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
On Thursdays, good morning, TJ. Always good to have you here. Question is, Florida State in a new league before this proposed Super Conference garbage happens? Which is it, the chicken or the egg?
This new Super Conference is never going to happen. It's the dumbest thing I've ever read. Did you notice in it? I don't know how many people read the article, but all the quotes are from, like, Syracuse's AD and people at Boston College. Like, the SEC and the Big Ten are complete crickets on that. Like, no, they don't want to take on these deadweight teams that are just absolutely trash. It sounds like Jim Phillips and the ACC tried to meet with people back in February, and everybody just canceled the dinner. They're like, this isn't really going to – like, we're out of here. So, Florida State's in a new conference. I don't think the Super League happens.
I'm not much of a believer. Ken in Middle Georgia says the topic of Project Osceola goes back about a year or two, maybe 2 years. And the talk was that Florida State would partner with private equity firms and maybe raise money that way to offset their money shortcomings. Has that topic or subject or idea disappeared?
I mean, I think it's still there in the background. I think the idea, you know, the idea for it really was in case they needed $500 million to get out of the ACC, which at this point I don't think they're going to need. And so in a perfect world, you know, you're able to settle for $100-150 million and you don't ever end up needing to take on a massive loan from a private equity company, and it ends up just kind of being no big deal, right? Like, you just kind of move on and that's that. But I think it, you know, they are exploring and have been for some time every possibility of how they could possibly get out of the ACC, and just ponying up every single dime that the ACC wants is an option. I think it's kind of a far-fetched one because they'll settle for much less, or a judge would reduce the number to whatever. But in a worst-case scenario, they tried to cover their butt a little bit. So, could they use that money for other stuff? Obviously, they're doing a stadium renovation right now. They're building a football-only facility. There's a lot of stuff that could go into. But I think the main idea was in case they needed $500 million to get out of a conference.
Jim and Jupiter said, ask TJ to talk about the turnaround by the baseball team. They've got more wins this year, he says, than all of last year, and we're just in early April.
Yeah, tell Alan to cover his ears a little bit before I get in trouble. But, yeah, they've been pretty impressive. They've got the number two RPI in the country right now. I saw this morning D1 Baseball has them as host as a top eight host, like, you know, in line to host a super regional if they could win their regional. And I certainly think they're in line right now to host their regional. The turnaround's been incredible. And, you know, it I mean, it starts with the offense. They've got some good pitching. Their Friday, Saturday guys are really good. Outside of that Clemson series, the bullpen has been really, really good. And they just, I mean, they just hit the absolute cover off the ball. They absolutely mash. Their offense hasn't slowed down yet this year. And they've been really good. They've finally taken the series back from UF, which is the first time outside of the 2020 year where they only played one game. First time they've done that since 2015. So, I mean, they're a confident group. They've got a good Friday, Saturday starter, combo, and their hitting has been on a different planet. Outside of that Clemson series, things certainly got away from them. They've done a really good job all year. 28 games in, and they've got more wins than they did last year.
That's what happens when you hire the right guy.
You know, Alford's done a great job. Sorry, that was a quick one. I took a sip of coffee and you caught me lacking there. But yeah, I mean, Alford's done a good job. I mean, if you look at like his hires so far, and keeping Norvell away from Bama, and, you know, bringing in Link and keeping Lonnie, the softball coach, away from Texas A&M when they tried to get her. He hired the SEC Coach of the Year and Brian Penske for women's soccer, and they go to the national championship one year and they win the national championship the next year in soccer too. So all of his hires have been, you know, pretty remarkable to this point. And, you know, he's done a good job. So yeah, there's been a focus for sure on baseball and Link's. I mean, Link seems like the real deal. I don't necessarily know that they're going to win it all this year. I think Omaha's more about getting hot, getting lucky at the right time, but, you know, they should at least compete for a spot there.
Allen in Tampa said he just got off the phone with his ticket coordinator and your parking pass has been revoked.
Parking pass revoked is fine. Just make sure make sure the tickets for this year are still good to go. We can settle on that.
Mike the Mad Dog in Noonan, Georgia wants to know how long before the SEC and the Big Ten tell the NCAA to kick rocks and have their own national championship game between the two conferences. There's 34 teams right there at the moment, maybe more in two, 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, the NCAA doesn't control the national championship game anyway. It's the only sport where they don't control it, right? And it's, you know, the college football playoff, the BCS, those are not NCAA events. So I think they already kind of have, right? Like, when it comes to the college football playoff negotiations and everything, I mean, those aren't really negotiations. That's the Big Ten and the SEC holding a gun to everybody else's head and saying, this is what you're going to do, or we will do our own thing. So, I mean, I think they kind of already are. And unless they, you know, negotiations just go really south and, you know, everybody else wants to play mean with the SEC and the Big Ten, I don't think they'll break away and create their own thing because they kind of already have their own thing. And I think the threat of them doing that is what's keeping the Big 12 and, you know, what's left of the ACC and the Pac-12 and the Group of Five team. I think that's what's keeping everybody else, like, saying yes to just about everything the SEC and the Big Ten ask for, because they know that if they say no to too much, that Sankey and Petit will just go off and do their own thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're kind of already doing it right now. They kind of hold all the cards and are doing whatever they want right now anyway.
Ken in Middle Georgia sent me an article a few days ago, and it's something we've talked about here on the show, and I'm not sure what the importance of it as it applies to this show, but it is interesting, and we're in the non-playing portion of the season, so we can kind of get off the path. But it's the idea or the truth that the state of Florida, as incredible as it is, producing sports, athletes of whatever sport it might be, football, but it's also a state that historically, TJ, is historically known as being super cheap in paying high school coaches.
Yeah, and hopefully they start to fix some of that because, I don't know how these coaches do it. You know, like if the booster organizations or if they're just like rich donors that kind of give them a little bit on the side or if they're just wealthy anyway. I saw that they're starting to pay the coaches. Like, what was the number? Did you say like 25 grand? And I'm like, well, that's still not enough. You know, like,
no,
that's not enough for some of these massive programs. And so Yeah, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous, and it's why we can't. I mean, you know, I am certainly not as well-versed in the high school game as many are. But I've seen people even talk about it that are, like, in it, and they say, like, yeah, that's why we can't keep coaches. That's why they all leave. That's why they all, you know, bump up to the next level. And, I mean, there's always going to be a portion of coaches that bump up to the next level in everything, right? College goes to the NFL. That's fine. But it's pretty brutal in Florida. So it's a start. I don't think it's where it needs to get to yet, but it is a start.
Apparently, Florida state law is that all of that is collectively bargained. And that's why it's so cheap.
Well, then I guess all the coaches are just dumb. You know, like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, I could say, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That
right. And in Georgia, it's not.
Yeah, I don't know how that bargaining went down, but maybe they were bargaining with Sankey and Petit again, like, with a gun to their head. You know, hey, you're going to take this and you're going to like it. So, I don't know about all that.
Jim in Daytona Beach wants to know, is there anything new? You know, it's like crack cocaine. They've got to have it. They've got to have it. Anything new in recruiting? Football recruiting?
I don't know. I'll try and edit this so I don't get in trouble. But, yeah, I mean, Florida State had some guys on campus, you know, late March for kind of a legacy weekend. Nothing massive came out of that. To me, it just feels like Florida State doesn't have a ton of juice right now on the recruiting trail. How's that possible, TJ? They won 23 games in 2 years. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. I think they need to up. I said this around signing day, so I try not to harp on it, but I think they need to upgrade some recruiting positions. I think they need to move some stuff around. You know, Mike really values development, and there's I'll tell you, this staff does a great job of developing guys once they're on campus. I just wish they had a little bit better clay to develop. It's maybe the best way to put it. So I think it's really hard to say, hey, we're going to have 10 assistant coaches that are elite recruiters and elite developers. There are only, like Georgia, only a couple places really can do that. And every staff has a couple of weaknesses here or there. But Florida State's guys lean very heavily towards development, and I don't think they're just killers, dog recruiters on the trail. Some of them do a pretty good job, others not so much. And they won 13 games in a row and they didn't finish in the top 10 class. So, I don't know. Your recruiting expectations at Florida State should probably just be lowered until Florida State's willing to make some recruiting changes. Until then, they're going to recruit around top 10. They're going to pull in the best portal class in the country. They're going to develop guys just as well as anybody else in the country. And they're going to have a top, like, 6-10 roster in college football. I don't think they're going to have a top 1-5, but they're still going to have a really, really good roster. I'm not trying to be all doom and gloom. But, yeah, I mean, just recruiting doesn't feel like it has a lot of juice right now, and it probably has to do with the guys that are doing the recruiting. The logo is still the logo. It's still Florida State. They're winning a hell of a lot of games. They just aren't recruiting super well. And so there's my rant for Thursday morning.
Again, recruiting rankings are like crack cocaine, though. They got to have it. They got to have it.
Got it. Well, this staff doesn't have to have it. So this staff doesn't care, so y'all should chill out on caring so much.
TJ, tell everybody what they need to do to get all your content.
Well, after I get banned for saying all that, you probably need to search the dark web. But, yeah, Double Fries, No Slaw everywhere. I started a national channel that does a lot of conference realignment, which is also crack cocaine for people. It's called College Football Addiction. Check it out on YouTube.
See you next week, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
There he is. Yeah, there he is. Does a great job. TJ Pittenger, each and every Thursday. Coming up next is Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. We'll head up to Rocky Top. We'll go from Tampa, Florida to Rocky Top, Tennessee. See what's happening up there. J.C. Sherbert, a little bit later, hour three. No J-Book. I attempted J-Book for hour three today. He's not able to do it. He said he could go next Thursday. So mark that down for next Thursday for J-Book. Dave Hooker as we continue. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. They just now moved that wreck over to the side, but people are staring at it as they drive by on 40 westbound at Fessler's. It was there long enough to slow that heavy traffic down through the Donaldson area on 40 going westbound. Again, near Spence Lane, it is way over to the side now. Traffic's on the increase coming down 65 as you work your way down through the Madison area. 24 also running a little bit heavy coming past that Jolton exit. You got all that traffic behind it coming in from Clarksville, Montgomery County, headed towards Nashville. Hey, Prince's Hot Chicken now has new items on the menu. Check out that menu today at princeshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
And now Comstock & Sons Construction is reminding Americans to show support to the brave men and women who serve our U.S. military. Please visit DAV.org and consider donating to the disabled U.S. veterans who need our help. This message is brought to you by Comstock & Sons Construction. For all your residential remodeling needs, give the pros a call today and ask about their military and senior discounts. 931-703-5623. 931-703-5623. That's Comstock & Sons Construction. They're professionals who care.
A friend of mine just bought a new house for the first time. A new house. I mean, my wife and I'd love to own a house. So I asked him how he did it. And he smiled and he said he went to the knowledge tree. He had this happy look on his face. So I told him to tell me more. And he said, John, the lack of knowledge will keep you poor. Then he handed me a brochure. It was from Knowledge Tree Mortgage. Now I understood. And after one phone call, I understood even more. Knowledge Tree Mortgage specializes in first-time homebuyers. Folks like me who get the runaround from banks. And he got us pre-qualified. Knowledge Tree Mortgage got us our mortgage. And tomorrow, my wife and I are going to become first-time homebuyers. Here's the number, 859-9599. 859-9599. Money doesn't grow on trees. Knowledge does. Knowledge Tree Mortgage, 859-9599. 859-9599.
BuyAndTow.com. Get cash for junk cars. You have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit BuyAndTow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, BuyAndTow.com. That's BuyAndTow.com.
It's a Bill King Show.
We created a rule decades ago on the show. Weddings, things of that nature, during the playing portion, do not get consideration. No. Don't do that. Weddings are meant for the spring. They do not get consideration during the playing portion of the season. That's just the way we work it around here. That's the way we play it around here.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
He doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Hooker. Off the Hook Sports. I saw a tweet, Dave, and we have not connected him yet, so I'll hold back. It's an interesting tweet, though. You know, we talked about it, and this has really cleared up a lot at Tennessee, but historically, Tennessee is infamous for stabbing their own, eating their own, infighting. Dysfunction, lots of it. Now, again, under Danny White, things are pretty harmonious. They've been good. Now, they just had to fire or unhire Kelly Harper, their women's basketball coach, former player there, very good player there. And anyways, Dave, I was just talking about a tweet, and it's interesting. Tennessee has fired former players, Philip Fulmer, Johnny Majors, Kelly Harper. And who's the one I'm skipping here?
Holly Warlick.
Oh, Holly Warlick. Yes. Yeah. Now, again, I think in each case, and you and I spent a lot of time during the former saga talking about it on the SiriusXM show, but that is an interesting little stat. I'm not sure what I'm trying to arrive at here, but it is interesting.
Yeah, I heard that stat, and then there was one more where I think General Nealand, his first tour, had to come back and fire somebody that took over for him. So that doesn't really count. But right. I don't know, is that typical from school to school? I mean, you do have coaches that come back and coach at their school. And, you know, Steve Spurrier certainly didn't get fired, but he left. Are there other situations? Man, I don't know how oftentimes that happens. But five in the modern era does seem like a lot to me.
Is there anything new on the search for the women's basketball coach?
Just that anything that you pull from the past searches with Danny White, it's going to be extremely quiet as far as these, not to say he won't use one, but these search firms, I don't think he's big into that. I think that he wants to handle this himself. I think that he started preparing for this months ago. Maybe the South Carolina game was the 2x4 that broke the camel's back when they played so poorly in that. But I think he's probably got a list of names. I think he's probably already interviewed three or four people. I've been told that some interviews are going to take place in Atlanta, if they haven't already, and perhaps today. So I think it hits the ground running, and you know, where some of these things can drag out for weeks in football, I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I'd almost be surprised it wasn't done by the weekend, but early next week at the very latest.
You wrote an article on receiver coach Kelsey Pope, correct?
Yes.
And I guess my question would be, how come he doesn't play the best players if he's so good?
Well, that's fair. I think that's a little bit out of his purveyance. And I was, it's funny you say that, because I was writing something just now about how basically we all thought that Dante Thornton was going to be this perfect slot receiver last year, right? But you and I have been around football, Bill, for a combined, I don't want to age us, but like 50 years or more. So when's the last time you think of a slot receiver being a 6'5" lanky guy? I think he was kind of shoved in that position a little bit, and those decisions are above Kelsey Pope's head. You got to remember, he's still 31. They're not going to give him too much responsibility, but I don't think he has the same say as who plays, especially because they don't sub in between drives. So I don't think that's his say, but I think he is a budding young coaching star on Tennessee staff.
Squirrel White is the ideal slot receiver for them, right?
That's actually what I'm writing, and you'll see it on my website here momentarily. It needs to be, hey, Squirrel, you take this position, and we're going to step back and leave you alone. I mean, that needs to be what they do. And Braylon Staley and Chris Braswell have gotten some time there, but they try to force Thornton in on that position. He's going to play wide out, I'm told, by the source within spring camp. So that's going to be the direction they go, and it makes a lot of sense, because I don't know that you could draw up a better slot receiver than Squirrel White.
Is there a concern somewhere on this roster, other than the secondary with a lot of new names?
Other than the secondary, well, let's just, you know, we'll go back to receiver, since I'm kind of zoomed in on that this morning. I think you've still got to prove that you've got a Jalen Hyatt. We thought he was a product of the system, didn't we, Bill? And now, I mean, that wasn't the case last year. It wasn't like Dante Thornton just stepped into the fastest stock car on the track or in the circuit. That wasn't the case. So, yeah, I think Tennessee, in retrospect, doing research this morning, I think they made a little bit of a mistake trying to force Dante Thornton at the slot receiver. So undo that mistake, find out who your best slot is, your best X, your best Y, your outside receivers, and you know, really, as an offensive coach, should you be making that mistake with those guys? So I would say there, you know, find the chemistry with Nico, determine what you want to do, because once they decide their three, they don't want to switch it up a lot.
because they really, and I will admit, probably spoiled from the team in 22 with all the playmakers, but they could not get deep last year. It was either a combination of missed throws or the receivers just couldn't get distance deep.
And I think they got scared because I don't think they trusted Joe Milton, some of his reads, and I think there were some errant passes, and I think the one thing you could take advantage of it with his arm would be the long screen pass, the bubble screen that we all got sick of seeing, but I just think he was limited. I always sound like the Joe Milton hater, but I think you're going to see an offense that's a lot closer to 2022 than the one you saw last year.
Any news from how Nico's doing other than praise?
Just that he's being really, really, really pushed. And it kind of reminded me of, I'm not trying to compare the two, but we've been watching a lot of basketball, as you have probably, and when people talked about how Dalton Kennett came to Tennessee, not because of the money, but to be pushed. Now, certainly $2 million a year didn't hurt Nico. Okay, I don't want to say that it was completely altruistic, but I do believe he wanted somebody who's going to push him. So I've talked to Cooper Mays on our ball report, how he's always addressing the offensive linemen. The coaches continue to push him to be a leader, address people, which I think is a good sign because that tells me he's got the playbook and everything else down where they trust him to be a leader. So I think that's a very positive thing.
What about some of the newcomers? Any stories there?
As far as the newcomers, I guess I would go, Staley and Brazel. We talked about some of those guys. In the secondary, I think there's a ton of newcomers as far as guys that'll make an impact. I think they're still trying to determine that. But I know I'm taking the easy way out. I would be stunned if Boo Carter, barring injury, wasn't a freshman All-SEC type of player this year. I would be surprised if he doesn't pan out to be a two-time, I don't want to go so far as to say All-American, but a two-time All-SEC player. Injuries obviously can happen. A lot of things change. We all remember Brian Darden, the superstar running back who didn't pan out. But right now, if I had to bet a mortgage payment on it that he'll be an All-SEC player one year before he's done in college, I would probably lay down that bet.
Dave Hooker off the Hook Sports. Basketball team, big picture, had a very good year. I know it was a heartbreaker not getting to the Final Four. Dave, my boys that watch sports, and I got five boys, but three of them were here watching. I think because of the foul disparity in the Purdue matchup, dropped about 50 F-bombs between themselves collectively. I told the audience I wish I would have taped that for the show, but I didn't.
That's good content, isn't it?
Yeah.
I will play the other side for fun. Didn't they foul Edie before he even got past the half-court strike? And I've gone back and looked at some of those where he supposedly camped up in the paint, and it should have been a three-second call. And there are some that should have. But there are some, Bill, if you go back and look, and you'll appreciate this because you like elite athletes, he looks like a ballet dancer in that the rule in college is you just have to have a foot outside the paint. You don't have to reestablish yourself like the NBA completely outside the paint, like inbounds.
Right.
So there are times where he looks like Brishnikov. And I'll send you a couple of those clips, but I know that Tennessee fans hate him because of what happened, but talk about a guy who's overcome and turned himself into an elite player, and he may have no home in the pros. It's hard for me not to like the young man.
Can't replace Dalton Kennett, can you?
No, but maybe you think about more of a post player with back to the basket now that a couple of schools have managed to make it to the Final Four there. There might be a column coming in that regard, too. I don't know about you. We may seem old here, but I miss the days of dumping it down to Kevin McHale and thinking you got probably a 9 out of it.
Yeah, I know. I know. Tennessee basketball, I tell you what, the regular season Rick thing, he got him to the Elite Eight, which is as deep as they've ever been. I guess Bruce had that happen about 10 years ago as well, but it was an overall very good year.
Overall, a very good year. You get the win at Kentucky. That's a big deal. You beat Bruce Pearl at home when Dalton Kinnett goes off, outscores Auburn the last 12 minutes. I just, it was a special year. You're going to be regular season, Rick, until you win a championship or at least make another Final Four. But other than that, which is a big other than, I thought Tennessee had a fantastic year. And I thought a lot of the publicity will certainly help Rick Barnes as he tries to recruit what I believe will be an upper-level transfer. And that's going to be kind of his M.O. because Dalton Kinnett certainly fell in love with Tennessee in no time at all.
Question here on the text line, how much longer do you think Barnes coaches?
That is a good question. There's part of me that wouldn't be surprised if I hung up the phone with you and saw an email that said he has decided to retire. He'll be 70 in June. So there's another part of me that thinks we could be doing this show in this very same time frame 5 years from now, Bill, and we're asking the same question. He's very young. If you just look at him for his age, I think he's a very healthy man. I think that he could go another 5 years at a high level. And I have been told the one thing that might have stopped that was he didn't like the NIL game, but he's found a way to kind of categorize that, to be able to kind of push that on some other staff members. And he wants to go after the guys like Dalton Kinnett, that it's not just about the money. And I think those guys are out there. But it wouldn't stun me if he was in it for another 5 years. But I would say the over-under would be at 2.5 at this point.
Tell everybody, Dave, how they can get all your content.
Oh, just go to offthehooksports.com. Offthehooksports.com. It's as simple as that. And I appreciate you letting me plug everything we do.
Appreciate it, man. See you next week.
Thank you.
Dave Hooker, Off the Hook Sports. J.C. Sherbert, about 20 minutes into hour three. So about 40-plus minutes from right now. 615-844-5600. That is the call text option line. We accentuate the texting angle on that. You want List Radio? Do you want List Radio? There are 10 states. You've been keeping up. I know I'm getting way off topic here. Where somebody can seize your home by squatting. And Georgia is one of those. I want you folks, we got a lot of people down in Georgia. Is that a problem?
Good morning. It's still a little bit heavy trying to get in right now through Hermitage Donaldson on 40 westbound here all the way up to Spence Lane where we had that earlier crash. Still trying to mop up this earlier wreck at 800 block of Trinity Lane. That's had traffic really tied up there. Fire EMS hopefully will get out of there sooner than later. Still crowded on 65 southbound. As you come through Millersville, they're loading up again with that heavy traffic on 24 west passing 840 headed towards Nashville out of Murfreesboro. Hey, 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services here in Middle Tennessee. Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is reminding listeners that every 2 seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. Giving equals living, so please consider donating blood today. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the LSCO.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Dog parents are loving Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend Premium Dog Food.
The way she acts and the way she moves, it's just so much better. And she acts like she's like a puppy again. It's unbelievable.
Dr. Marty's Nature's Blend is a freeze-dried raw food made with zero artificial preservatives. So it's naturally shelf-stable with no mess, freezer, or fridge required. Plus, it's full of premium turkey, beef, salmon, and meat your dog will love.
We started with Nature's Blend. She's happy. She sleeps well. She's energetic. I am just delighted with this product.
When given the choice, Nature's Blend and Amazon's number one bestseller in dry dog food, 29 out of 30 dogs chose Nature's Blend first.
I am so confident your dog will love it. Your order is back with a 90-day guarantee.
Save up to 54% off Nature's Blend and get a free bag of delicious beef liver treats. Go to drmartypets.com/healthy or text healthy to 511-511. Text healthy to 511-511.
All pets are unique. Your pet's results can and will vary. Message and data rates may apply. Studies available upon request.
Paid for by Dr. Marty's Pets.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. Visit starleasing.com to learn more.
It's JB and the General.
You know, I'll do my Stugatz weekend observations. Stugatz, yep. From the Dan Levitard show. Patton, beep. One thing is sure. Beep. Actually, beep. Two things are sure. Beep. Tennessee is going to the Final Four. Beep. And the Nashville Predators, beep, are winning the Stanley Cup.
Oh.
Beep. Those are my two observations. How about that?
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
Get into the Bill King Show, 615-844-5600. He doesn't charge by the minute.
Trying to get Jay booked for the top of the hour. Can't go this week, but next week he's ready. He can make an appearance next Thursday, so looking forward to having Jay Book from Buck Nuts, the incredibly popular Buckeye site. I just mentioned, and I was just scrolling down through Twitter, but there are 10 states where squatters can take over your house. Now, again, that's a little misleading. I think some of these states, it's 20 years of occupancy. It's got to be sole occupancy. It's various. It's state by state, but I'm just wondering. It's been in the news a lot. And Georgia is mentioned. I'm assuming that would be Metro Atlanta. I'm just guessing. I'm just random wild guess there. I had a question from URC in Incline Village. Hey, Bill, you mentioned, I believe it was in hour one, that cut is, what term did I use? Petty and childish. I think I used that. Now, first of all, let me reiterate, David Cutcliffe is a brilliant offensive coach. And early years, I learned a few things from him. He's a brilliant guy. Got his start on low end of the totem pole, worked his way all the way up, and has had a really good career. The part about Cut that I don't like is that he's incredibly petty and thin-skinned. And he cannot take any criticism at all. And he just can't get over things. And this show is going to take coaches, moments, games, whatever it might be in our solar system, and we're going to give you what we think is an objective view on it, whether you agree or not. And again, my job has never been the need to receive plurality. I'm not looking for plurality. I'm looking for interesting topics that we can all have fun with in this vast arena of ideas. I've never understood, if you're going to be on a stage like be a coach on the level that Cut has been, offensive coordinator, head coach, etc., how it is you cannot handle critique when it's necessary, when it's objective. And he's incredibly petty. Cut was mad at me about just critiques. And we go to this awards banquet for Austin Kemp back in the, I think around 97. And they have me at this table up front, this podium area. And it's me, Fulmer, and Cut. I'm between the two of them. Fulmer's on my left. I think Cut's on my right. Fulmer and I talked the whole time. Matter of fact, that day, Kevin in Muletown, who's the 1990s Columbia, signed as a running back. They moved him to linebacker. I'm forgetting his name. Anyways, we're sitting there at the table, just to give an example of how much I remember about this little banquet in Brentwood, is that Fulmer just looks at me and says, I can't think of his name. Quit today. That player I'm trying to think of, quit. Nobody had this story. He just sits there and tells me. He signed as a running back, and they moved him to linebacker. It actually was decent, pretty good linebacker, and he quit the team. Anyways, Cut's mad at me about whatever. I don't even remember the topic. And the entire time we're sitting there, he almost turns his back to me and won't speak to me. Now, again, he's not required to speak to me, but it's just petty stuff like that, right? And then later, we're having a, back in the SiriusXM days, on signing day in February, first Wednesday, we would try and interview a million coaches. I mean, everybody. And Cut was always unavailable. The Duke coach was always unavailable. You can get Saban, you can get Urban Meyer, you can get Brian Kelly, you can get Bob Stoops, can't get Cut. like the Duke recruiting class is going to be interesting for the overall volume of the audience. It's just examples like that. I admire him, what he's done on the field. Oh, I do. I do. I just don't understand, and maybe I'm just not wired to understand how you can put yourself in a public situation and then be childish and thin-skinned about critique. That'd be like me. What if I was? I get critiqued every day. I should. It's part of it. It's fair game. The only thing I do get thin-skinned about is when it gets personal and they start coming after your family. That's where, now, I will get thin-skinned then. But if it's about me, no, not at all. If I'm going to put myself out here, then deal with what comes your way. L Dog says, Bill, I live in Georgia. I own several properties. Bought, sold, rented several homes, commercial properties. I've never had an issue with squatters. So, no, I don't view it as a problem, to be honest. I know it's getting a lot of media hype, but I think it's very rare. Probably right. Yeah, probably right. L-Dog's got property in Mexico, where he's got a contract, I believe, with Don Julio, right? Is it Casamigos or Don Julio? I think it's Don Julio. Anyways, we'll take the break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel. Ronnie Pillow. Cabin in Muletown, though.
Good morning. The police are still on the scene of an accident over here on the 65 southbound near that ramp to Wedgwood. Of course, the heaviest flow is on the other side, coming northbound on 65, coming up from Brentwood, Franklin, all the way into South Nashville right now. Still crowded over here on 40 westbound. That's been running a little bit slow, trying to get past the airport from an earlier crash we had at Spence Lane. It slowed it down through that section of Hermitage into Donaldson. Expect delays there for a little bit longer. 24 is heavy, but it's moving, coming in from Murfreesboro, 24 westbound. As you head up through the Antioch area, Princess Hot Chicken now has new items on the menu. You gotta check it out today. PrincessHotChicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hello, I'm Greg Pogue, and welcome to High Valley Conference Basketball Weekly Spotlight, presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security. Drunk driving is the ultimate form of unsportsmanlike conduct. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Three men's teams are undefeated after the first week of league play. UT Martin is 2-0 after two road wins, while Moorhead State and Western Illinois are 1-0 after also winning on the road. Road teams went 6-3 during the open weekend. Women's teams were even more dominant on the road by going 8-1 last week. Southern Indiana and UT Martin are both 2-0 in OVC play after road wins, while Eastern Illinois, Moorhead State, and Western Illinois are each 1-0. The lone women's team to win a home game was Tennessee State, which outlasted Little Rock in overtime. Two of the top three scoring performances in the OVC were last week, with Southern Indiana's Jeremiah Hernandez scoring 35 points at SEMO, while Moorhead State's Riley Minix had 34 points 2 days later against the Redhawks. Little Rock's Jameer Chaplin and Moorhead State's Riley Minix were named OVC Men's Co-Player and Co-Newcomer of the Week, while Little Rock's Jalen Crocker Johnson was top freshman. Macy McGlone at Eastern Illinois was named the Women's Player of the Week, while top newcomer was Little Rock's Leilana Wimbish Gay. UT Martin's Kinley McCarn was Freshman of the Week. For complete information on this year's OVC Basketball Championships presented by United at Fidelity Bank, which will be March 6th through the 9th at the Ford Center in Evansville, visit www.ovcsports.com/Evansville. This has been the OVC Basketball Weekly Spotlight presented by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security. If you've been drinking, don't drive, and always remember that fans don't let fans drive drunk. I'm Greg Pogue, wishing everybody a great week of OVC basketball. You won't believe it until you OVC it.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
Hi, I'm Test Director Rick from ServPro, the leader in cleaning, restoration, and construction. It's my job to make sure our pros are prepared for anything. Storm damage? Fixed. Flood damage? We're on it. Fire damage? Not anymore.
Aliens? What? Aliens? We cleaned those sites a while ago.
No matter the disaster, our pros will make it like it never even happened. Find out why ServPro is the number one choice for residential and commercial restoration projects, large and small. Visit ServPro.com today.
He gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
Jesse Sherbert, about 20 minutes into hour number three on this Thursday edition. Tomorrow, Kevin Hagan. Yeah, we tape him this morning, talk Alabama with Kevin. You hear that on Friday. We have to tape it today. Ole Miss Evie, the angelic tones. Did you see where Brent Stockstill briefly joined Baby Kiff's staff and then almost immediately got hired by the Colts. Stock, that's right, of the borough, of Rick Stockstill, his son. Very good quarterback. And Ole Miss Evie hit me up yesterday, said, Bill, they've hired Brent Stockstill, and then maybe 2-3 hours later, no, he's leaving for the Colts, which, hey, good for him. That can happen. That can happen. Ole Miss Evie will be with us. And Coach Pete, yes, on Fridays, Coach Pete will be around. And Brad Powers, BradPowersSports.com. That is hour number three on the Friday program. Not bad. Yeah, not bad. And we'll talk Alabama with Kevin. In a Final Four, they are an 11.5-point dog to UConn. That juggernaut, which is UConn. Jim and Jupiter, Bill, the state of Florida just got legislation protecting Floridians from squatters, and the sheriff in Polk County said that you can shoot if a squatter is in your house. I was just wondering. It's been in the news, and they mentioned, I lost the list, but it was New Jersey, Georgia was there, I believe Michigan, Ohio, all our friends up in Ohio, but I've never heard of any issues. Jim and Jupiter, yep, yeah, Rick Stockstill is back home in Tallahassee, well, his alma mater, as an analyst. Yes, Rick was a quarterback there in the 70s and was up here in the borough for quite a period of time. And again, his son, quarterback for him during a stretch, Brent Stockstill. And I really did not know where he was. I think he was on the middle staff, right? Before they unhired Rick. And Brent apparently has been picked up as a quality controller analyst. I don't think it's on the field. I don't know. But by the NFL's Colts. So he'll be up in Indy, sounds like. Good for him. Yeah, good news. Good for him. Baseball starts. Actually, you had a little bit of midweek action last night, and there's some on Tuesdays as well, but intra-league play picks back up tonight for some teams. You've got the LSU-Vanderbilt game, Arkansas plays, Tennessee plays down at Auburn. I do know that starts Friday for the Tony Vols. I enjoy it, man. Thursdays when you got baseball game on and everything, I just love it, man. Absolutely love it. Yeah, absolutely just dig it. 615-844-5600 on the text line if you'd like to check in this morning. Story that came up earlier, and I believe, yeah, Craig in Myrtle Beach, or not that Craig in North Augusta, South Carolina, I should say. Brought it up, but it's the story about the Super Conference, and it's going to be the 4P4 leagues plus Notre Dame. They're going to form their own Super Conference, the executives. I started reading that, and I'm not a headache guy. I don't get headaches. I've never had a problem with it. I guess I'm lucky for those that get it. Crazy Charlie, for example, has migraines. It's just awful. It's just terrible. I feel so bad when that happens to him. I'm not a headache guy. I started reading that, and I was so disinterested, so turned off by it, I got a headache, briefly. It went away. Once I ignored it, it went away. And some of you guys are saying, Bill, it's inevitable. Well, it might be. I don't necessarily buy it like you do, but it might be. Maybe that is what it looks like in 5 years or 10 years. But I'm not buying into all that yet. I don't know. Is that what eventually gets me run off? Is that where I just say, you know what, guys? I'm taking it to the house. I can't. All right. Hour number three. Hope not. Hour number three.